بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, and our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver. Once Hazrat Maulana Wasiullah Rahmatullahi Alayh was giving an explanation as he was talking about the conditions of this ummah, the maladies of this ummah, and he gave some guidance as to how one could overcome the problems that the ummah is faced with. And in his discussion, he mentioned fitna. Is an Arabic word. It's a singular word. Fitan is a plural word. So quite commonly we see, you know, when you go to the shopping mall, there's too much of fitna there. Or we see, you know what, he's causing fitna between us. Or we see those people, poor fellows, are caught in some fitna. So the word fitna is used very broadly now. The original meaning of fitna is فَتَنْتُ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِضَّةِ. A person says, I took the gold or silver and I heated it in the fire. For what purpose? To see and to distinguish and differentiate from that which is genuine, pure, from that which is not genuine. So that's what a person will do. A goldsmith will take the gold that he has and he will test it by placing it into the fire and he will melt it. So the pure gold will melt. And that which is fake and not genuine, that won't melt. So the original meaning of fitna was to test, to see how genuine this gold was or silver was or not. So in Arabic, the word fitna originally comes with the meaning of al-ibtila, al-imtihan, to test. Alif lam mim ahasiba an-nasu ay yutraku ay yaqulu amanna wa hum la yuftanun. The people feel that they say they brought iman in Allah, or they bring iman in Allah, and they will not be tested by Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the word fitna is linked to Allah ta'ala, then it means Allah is testing you. Allah is testing human beings. Allah is testing insan. The word fitna appears 56 times in the Holy Quran. 56 times. And of course, in all those 56 times, it comes in different meanings. Ulama have gone and give a detailed explanation as to how these verses come. In some places, it comes in the meaning of sin, guna. Like how now commonly it says, there's too much of fitna, what comes to our mind, there's too much of sin, too much of evil that is prevalent. So, waha bohat fitna hai. So what do you say? There's too much of temptations that will pull us towards sin. So the word fitna originally means to test a person. Ibtila, imtihan. And then it is used for sin, ism, guna. It's also used in the Quran for the meaning of kufr, disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also in the meaning of qital, fight. Also in the meaning of burning somebody. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَتَنُوا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَتُوبُوا. Regarding the people of the trench in Surah Buruj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the disbelievers who put the test, who persecuted the believers. The disbelievers, the kuffar, persecuted the believers. How? By digging trenches, and they kindled those trenches with fire and they made them jump into that fire. So there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word fatanu mu'mineen, that they persecuted the believers. Then there is the fitna of maal, the test of wealth. Inshallah we will discuss this. How wealth becomes a fitna? How wealth becomes a test? Or how wealth leads a person towards sin? When a person becomes so overwhelmed by his wealth and becomes obsessed, that then he does not distinguish or doesn't bother about what is halal from haram. Or he begins to amass wealth and it now becomes a means of him neglecting his faraid and turning away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then that wealth becomes a source of test, a source of sin for him. And then we have the fitna of awlad. Innama amwalukum wa awladukum fitna. Allah says your wealth and your children are fitna for you. Now people don't understand the word fitna. So they will see wealth and children is a, they are some azab for you. They are persecution. No, it is a test. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us children. Now those children should not become a means of you turning away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the test that Allah ta'ala gives us. So children also are a fitna. Or the word, there is a fitna of awlad. Then, ikhtilaf between people. People have differences of opinion. So fitna is also in this aspect where people have different opinions and the opinions oppose one another. Then this also becomes a means, a source of fitna. So fitna, according to the lexicographers, mufassirin and the ulama, they have given a very diverse meaning of fitna. But originally means to test some person, to put a person to some difficulty, some trial, some tribulation. And now then after that it's commonly used generally to show something which is evil, munkarat, anything which is evil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the verse that I mentioned to you, Allah used the word fitna to show, to test you. The other word, meaning of to stop a person from reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the path that leads us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah talks about الَّذِينَ يَصُدُّونَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. So in this particular verse Allah says, وَحْذَرْهُمْ أَن يَفْتِنُوكَ عَن بَعْضِ مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. That you should caution them that they do not become an obstruction to you from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it also mean used in that context. Then it is used as adab. ثُمَّ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لِلَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا مِن بَعْدِ مَا فُتِنُوا ثُمَّ جَاهَدُوا وَصَبَرُوا إِنَّ رَبَّكَ مِن بَعْدِهَا لَغَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah talks about the muhajirin, they are making hijrat. ثُمَّ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لِلَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا مِن بَعْدِ مَا فُتِنُوا. Then they were persecuted. So it also meaning has the meaning of persecution, as I mentioned the other verse. الْوُقُوعُ فِي الْمَعَاصِي وَلَكِنَّكُمْ فَتَنْتُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَتَرَبَّصْتُمْ. In Surah Hadid, Allah says, but you put yourself into sin. Fatantum. You put yourself into fitna, means you came into sin. You fell into sin. You fell into evil. Then, when haq and batil becomes dubious for the person, it becomes very, very similar. He cannot differentiate between haq, truth, and batil, falsehood. Allah talks about one verse in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضُ. Disbelievers, they are friends and helpers to one another. إِلَّا تَفْعَلُوهُ تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ كَبِيرٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if all believers, if you do not befriend one another as believers, living out the disbeliever, then there will be fitna for you. In other words, you will not be able to distinguish haq from batil. It will become obscure for you. It will become doubtful for you. It will become dubious. And you may fall into falsehood. Allah ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, وَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ فِتْنَتَهُ. That person whom Allah wishes fitna for him, here in this particular verse, fitna means to go astray. When Allah intends for a person to go astray, then the word idlal also has been used. It also has the meaning of killing and taking as a captive. In khiftum ayyaftinakumul ladhina kafaru. If you fear that disbelievers will capture you, they will imprison you. So various meanings of fitna. In fact, in one particular verse, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word بِأَيِّكُمْ الْمَفْتُونَ. To see which one of you is maftoon comes in the meaning of majnoon. To see which one of you is insane. So see how broadly this word fitna is used in the Qur'an Majeed. And of course in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had sought refuge in Allah from fitna. In various ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find the dua. For example, Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min fitnatil mahya wal mamat. Some places, Wallah, we seek your refuge in fitnatil masihid dajjal. Wallah, we seek refuge from fitnatul qabr. So the word fitna, in its broad meaning, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sought protection from all types of fitan. And now we are moving towards the latter part of this ummah. Exactly when Qiyamah will take place, Allah knows best. But Ashratu Sa'ah, the signs of Qiyamah, in which there will be such fitan, plural of fitna as I mentioned, like a person takes a tasbih and he snips the string, and how the beads follow one after the other, like that there be tests and trials. In one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it is mentioned like waves that lash upon a person. And they come so heavily and so with such force that it sweeps the man off his feet, pulling him and pushing him away. And the person feels that this is going to lead to my destruction. This one here is going to finish me and kill me. And before that fitna can even pass him or complete and terminate, the next wave is lashing already upon him. And he says, Hadihi muhlikati, hadihi muhlikati. No, this one genuinely, this is going to finish me up. In other words, as I mentioned the word fitna in the beginning with the various verses we discussed already, and I showed you the meaning of fitna originally meant to imtihan, al-ibtila, to test, and then it was used so widely in ism, al-wuquf al-ma'asi, falling into sin, falling into evil, immodesty, immorality, into different types of evil. So there will be those times that will be such that will come, that a man will be so shaky, his iman will be so shaky, that in the morning he was a believer, but because of the fitna that he will be enticed with, and he will be lured with, he will actually sell his deen for a few pennies. يَبِيعُ دِينَهُ لِعَرَضٍ مِّنَ الدُّنْيَا. For a few pennies, he'll be prepared to give away his iman, and take kufr in lieu of his iman. May Allah protect us. So by the evening, he's already a disbeliever. And in the evening, some person may be a believer, but by the time it is morning, he's already a disbeliever. So Rasulullah has mentioned, in fact, in the books of ahadith, there are actual chapters just on Kitabul Fitan, that book which discusses the various ahadith of fitna. So as I mentioned, fitna of a person with regard to his wealth. Fitna with regard to his children, fitna with regard to his wife, with regard to woman. When hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that ma taraktu ba'di fitnatan adarra 'ala ar-rijal min an-nisa' kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. I have not left after me any fitna again, in other words, any trial, tribulation, which is more severe upon men than the fitna of woman. Again, luring of woman. And the word fitna again will be explained inshallah in that context what it means. So Mawlana Wasiullah Rahmatullahi was giving some guidelines to the people in one majlis regarding the different types of problems the ummah is faced with. And what is the guidelines? What is the way out? So whilst he was giving this majlis, he explained fitan and the trials and tribulations. So he said, Hazrat Muslih al-Ummah, he was known as Muslih al-Ummah, as the Shah Wasiullah Rahmatullahi says, we learn from the ahadith that Rasulullah sought protection from fitan. As I explained now, Rasulullah made dua, Wallah, I seek your protection from fitan. So we seek protection with Allah or in Allah from the punishment of the fire, min fitnatin nar. What is the fitna of the fire? Fire, I mentioned one meaning of fitna means to burn some person, al ihraq bin nar. So the chastisement, the punishment of Jahannam, may Allah save us. We know how terrible the punishment will be. A person will be thrown into Jahannam and he'll be given pus and blood to drink. Boiling water is thrown onto his scalp that will actually burn his entire body. It will penetrate his entire body. His skin will peel off. He'll be yelling and screaming and shouting. We have read in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the different types of azab and punishment in Jahannam, and therefore Rasulullah said, Allahumma ajirna minan nar. Allahumma ajirna minan nar. 7 times read after Fajr, 7 times after Maghrib, make it our ma'amul. Doesn't even take 1 minute. Allahumma ajirna minan nar. Allahumma ajirna minan nar. Allahumma ajirna minan nar. Allah protect us from the fire of Jahannam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, imagine, he sought protection in Allah from Jahannam. How much more important it is for us to seek protection in Allah from Jahannam. But this is for ta'lim for his ummah. So, protection from the fire of Jahannam. And from zahir and batin fitna. An outward fitna and an inward fitna. So we'll see what that means, inshallah. So it's necessary to seek Allah's protection. Min al-fitani, zahiriha, wa batiniha. From the zahir, outward fitna, and also the inward fitna that a person goes through. So fitan means then the trials of the world as well as dunya and akhirat. Rasulullah made sought protection in Allah from the fitna of this world and the fitna of qabr, fitna of akhirah. Then I mentioned to you already, there are different, many types of fitan. This is something that is so severe that Hazrat mentioned that even sometimes death, maut was preferred to fitan. When a person desire maut and death, this is not something that is encouraged by Sharia, never. In fact, you should not be asking for maut. However, there are conditions where a person, if he has to, if he has to make dua for maut, then he will say, oh Allah, if hayat is better for me, then let me live. But if maut is better for me, then ya Allah, you take me away. That is at the last resort when it is impossible for him to practice his deen and his iman. He's being persecuted, he's being tortured mercilessly. There's no way out. He cannot practice his sharia and deen and Quran and salah and nothing. Otherwise, a person should make sabr and overcome this, whatever trial he is faced with. The trial sometimes comes from Allah, and sometimes it comes from Allah, and sometimes from the makhluq. So you are getting a trial. I told you, Allah is testing you. Alif lam mim. أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون. Allah says, does mankind feel that they, when they see that we brought iman, they won't be tested? Allah will test you to see how genuine. وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ilm and knowledge azali. Already Allah knows who's going to pass, who's going to fail. But Allah makes this zahir. He makes it apparent that when you test it, then Allah says, how many turned towards me and obeyed me, and how many turned away from me. So that becomes apparent. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes the fitna comes to us from Allah. Sometimes makhluk is putting you through trials and tribulations. Then Hazrat Mawlana gave, he said, for example, if irtidad occurs, people become murtad, people get involved in sin. Similarly, if some calamity comes, or one faces killing and punishment, the hadith indicates to this by, oh Allah, when you intend fitan for a nation, then give me death before it comes. This is at last resort, when a person won't be able to practice his deen, and his iman is at stake, and he may leave this world without iman, and leave this world with kufr, Allah save us, then at that time he makes his dua. Similarly, the trials of man are sometimes within himself, and sometimes in his family. So a person is going through fitna within himself, and sometimes because of his family. It is sometimes in his wealth, sometimes in his children, sometimes in his home. At times, it's amongst his neighbors. Sometimes it is during his lifetime, and sometimes during death. That's a difficult one. When the person is living this world, and now he's going through a fitna. Now the test is a very difficult one. It's a very crucial time. You fail this trial and tribulation, you lose your iman. And if you pass it, then you're successful. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal Rahmatullahi's story is so famous, that at the time of maut, when people are making talqeen, when they're saying, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, and the person is passing away, ulama explain, Laqilu mawtakum bila ilaha illallah. What is the meaning of this hadith? You don't force the person who is passing away, but you say, La ilaha illallah, say la ilaha. No, you yourself say it aloud, so that when he hears or she hears, then automatically they encourage to say, La ilaha illallah. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal Rahmatullah is saying, La, 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 no. They're reading, La ilaha illallah, his son, and family members are saying, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. So he may say the kalima and pass away, and he's saying, La, no, no. perturbed, worried. Ya Allah, imagine Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, a giant like him, Imam of a madhab, fiqh, hadith. So then after some time, he realized when he came to his consciousness and he said, I'm not telling La that I do not want to recite the kalima. Shaitan has appeared to me at this stage even. And Shaitan is saying, Ahmad, you passed the test. I could not mislead you. You escaped from my clutches. So Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah is addressing Shaitan, saying, La, not as yet. Until I don't leave this world with Iman, I have not passed this test. So that, imagine at that time, Mufti Shafi'i Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, in one of his kitabs, Shifa'ul Asqam, has mentioned that when a person is passing away, and then Shaitan appears, Iblis, comes on his right hand side to try and make him lose Iman. If he's not successful, then he comes on his left hand side. At that time, many times the person is very, very thirsty, wants water. Shaitan even comes with a glass of water to try and give him and entice him with that, drink this water and leave Islam. It's not the right religion. If a person is not sabit qadam, he doesn't have sabit steadfastness at that time, his iman is shaky, iman is weak, Allah forbid he can lose his iman, he can pass away without more iman. So that's also a fitna. There's also a test at the time of maut. Then at times it is in poverty. So through poverty Allah is testing the person. كَذَا الْفَقْرُ أَن يَكُونَ كُفْرًا Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that sometimes poverty can lead a person to disbelief. Why? He's got no nothing to survive and nobody assisted him. So a non-Muslim comes with a hamper, tells him, "Bhai, you leave Islam and I will help you out." If he's not strong on his iman and belief in oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is unable to make the sabr, sometimes he falls for this ploy and he loses iman. So sometimes the test comes through poverty, and sometimes and many times it comes through wealth. Person is prosperous, but he's being tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How much shukr is making of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How is he using the things that Allah has given him? Is he using it correctly? Is he showing qanaat, contentment? Is he pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or is he just amassing wealth and wasting it in just haram pleasures? So then that's also a test. It's also a fitna. The fitna affecting man in his family, where they say something or do something that is not permissible. Similarly, his family lives with him. Grief and sadness will happen. So sometimes a person is going through misery in his home. The fitna affecting a person in his children is that he loves them beyond limit. So sometimes a man is at home, but at home also there's no peace. There's war always. Husband and wife are quarreling, fighting. There is no peace, there's no rahat, there's no comfort. That is why he mentioned that sometimes the person rather stay outdoors than coming indoors, coming inside the house. He'll only come home when everybody is asleep. Why? Because the moment he comes, somebody is demanding, somebody is fighting, quarreling. So there's more peace for him out of his house. Why? His house has become a place of fitna in this world that is going to take them to quarrel and fight and argue and cause problems. So the fitna of the home, also when things that the person has in his home that is against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Sharia. So again, fitna is a broad meaning. One is the fitna of the family, yani arguing with him, quarreling with him, making his life miserable. Or the things that he has in his home, there is no nuraniyat, ruhaniyat, there's no barakat. Why? There's no tilawat of the Quran. There's no love and muhabbat, mawaddat. The father is not showing love to his children. Husband and wife have got no muhabbat. Children are showing love to their parents. So this is very common today. There's no peace at all. There's no happiness. There's only quarrels. There's only fighting. Then the fitna of the children, when his muhabbat becomes more for his children than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we'll do hajj and qurbani. The same story we'll hear again and again on submission. How Allah ta'ala tested Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Wa idh ibtala Ibrahim rabbu. Ibtila, test. And how Ibrahim salam passed because he showed, Allah, my love is more for you than my own son Ismail. Although he loved Ismail so dearly. So when a child, the love of the child engulfs the heart to such an extent that now the person is now lacking and shirking in his duties towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah Park sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the child has become a fitna. Innama amwalukum wa awladukum fitna, in this way, in this meaning. That now the child has become an obstruction. As-saddu ani sabil. Has become a block, an obstruction for you reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, to love your child, this is Ayn Sunnah. Sunnah of Rasulullah. He showed how he loved his grandchildren and so many others. So a person should not go extreme that he doesn't even care for his children and grandchildren and his family members. But when it's time for Salah, then the child should not hold you back from your Salah. And like that, you make tarbiyat of the child to such that that child does not become a fitna for you in your life, that it becomes a misery for you in your life, that now your whole sleep is gone, your peace is gone, because the child has become a sinner, a grave sinner, and now he's compelling others also to become evil, his company has become evil, he's become an embarrassment for you, he's taking drugs, he's whining, he's dining. Now instead of becoming a qurratu ayun, a source of happiness, an aki tandak, now he becomes something, an eyesore. May Allah protect us. So this is how fitna affecting man, when he's through his family members, his children. Then the fitna affecting man in his wealth, is it he acquires it through impermissible means. So he earned haram. So that also is a fitna for him. He did not earn it in a halal way. And he earned halal, but he spends it in wasteful places, in haram places, haram things, futile things. And similarly, a person, as I mentioned, loving his children beyond limit, and this love stops him from many forms of goodness. Then the fitna affecting him in his neighbors is that he starts to hope for the good condition of his neighbor. In other words, he becomes jealous of his neighbor. Hey, he's got such a nice car. So now jealousy creeps into him. So I must better him. I must get a better car. And look at his mansion and his apartment. And he's got this and he's got that. So now the fitna of a neighbor is you being tested by your neighbor in this sense that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. You should make shukr. But do not become jealous of that person. So the neighbor, as far as your home is concerned, or neighbor in your business or factory, how come more customers are coming to him? How come he's so busy? How come mine, this thing, is not prosperous? So Allah must take away his barakat. Allah must make some nuksan come to him. You see, that's a fitna. This is jealousy from which people seek refuge from. We recite Surah Falaq, Surah Nas, etc. In a similar vein, one fitna is that of life. Fitna of life is that a person faces tests in his life. And he gets involved in desires and ignorance. Or he faces calamities and he cannot exercise patience. So in his own life, Allah Ta'ala puts him through tests. How often you say, hey, one after the other. It's just one hour, just this happened and now this happened. It was an accident and now somebody stole this and that. So that was a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We heard on Friday, the closer you are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more tests you'll go through. The more tests you'll go through. Anbiya Ali Musa had the greatest amount of tests. Our tests and trials from Allah Ta'ala are absolutely nothing compared to what the Anbiya Ali Musa went through. Imagine Ayub Ali Salatu Salaam for so many years, absolutely sick. Body became diseased, but not even an oof. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from different types of fitna and fasad here, the fitna of mahya, of life. Hazrat, our mashayikh, rahmatullah alayhim ajma'in, and ulama and scholars have mentioned, Ibn Qayyim rahmatullah specifically has mentioned, there is a fitna of, and this is what is the most important thing, fitna of shubuhat and shahwat. It's an Arabic word, shubuhat. Shubha means doubt. In other words, the person's iman is not pakka. His certitude in Allah, his yaqeen in Allah is not solid. His iman is shaky. It is doubtful. He's got various doubts that have come into his iman. Like how the munafiq had. They were not firm on iman. They were shaky. Sometimes they come to the believers, sometimes to disbelievers. More towards the disbelievers. And eventually they lost the iman. So what is the ma'al, the outcome, the consequence of iman like this? It will lead him to kufr, it will lead him to jahannam. He's got shubah. He must have firm belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the shariat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the ahkamat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the laws of Quran and Sunnah. Ulama have made it easy for us by explaining to us what is fard, what is wajib, what is sunnah, what is mustahab. On our own, we will never be able to work this out. They made it easy for us to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to obey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why even ahadith, they have went through the whole study of ahadith, and from there they have extracted ahkamat, laws. Now people feel that they can understand Quran and Sunnah on their own, and this is when they will come across so many instances where they will begin to doubt, they will not know what is the answer, because apparent they might find a contradiction, this hadith is saying this, another hadith is saying that, they won't understand what to do, ayat of Quran is saying this, hadith is saying this. Therefore, the ulama and scholars who have spent their lives in this, they have understood it, they have passed it on to us in simplified manner. For us is to follow it and not to create unnecessary doubts, because those doubts will lead a person towards kufr. May Allah save us. Then the fitna of shahwat, desires, haram desires. This is something that we always talk about in our programs. And there is the question of nafs and shaitan luring us. The temptations we have on Thursday, we explain about bad nazri, casting lustful glances at women. So what we should do, what we should not do. So shahwat, desires. Every person has got desire. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ شَهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ إِلَىٰ آخِرِ الْآيَةِ. Allah Ta'ala has given a person this shahwa. But this shahwa has to be controlled. Like how in the month of Ramadan, it was controlled. A person didn't give vent to his shahwat and start eating during the day and broke his fast. Generally, this is what we all protected ourselves from. Yes, they are. Allah forgive those people who didn't keep roza, who didn't bother about the deen of Allah. That is why they have the fitna of shubuhat and arrogance and dalal. Allah protect us. But shahwat, the shahwat, that's where tazkiyah comes in, to help us to curb our shahwat. And fasting is one thing that helps a person to curb his evil tendencies. Automatically a person will stay away from haram. A person, if he looks down, does not gaze at haram, then already he is protecting himself from haram shahwat. A person requires to get married, he has the means, then he should get married. Why? It will help him to control his shahwat and fulfill his desires in a halal way. Otherwise, he will fulfill his desires when he is aroused and stirred up to such a level that he is unable to control it, then he will fulfill his desires in a haram way. So the fitna of shubuhat, doubts, the fitna of shahwat. Shahwa, desire, anything that is evil, evil temptations. So Hazrat Mawlana says, the fitna of mahya, life, that a person faces chest in his life, he gets involved in desires and in ignorance. Jahalat. Ever sometimes he faces difficulties, calamities, and he cannot exercise patience. The fitna of maut, death, is that during the final moments, he becomes confused. And a good end is made difficult for him by shaitan, as I explained already, the story of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahmatullahi alayhi. Then the fitna of qabr. What is the fitna of qabr? That in the qabr, in fact, the word fattan has been used. Fattan means those two, referring to munkar and nakir, who will question you. That is the fitna of the qabr. Fitna of the qabr doesn't mean to be entertainment, music and women and zina, ma'adallah. There you'll be tested by the angel. Man rabbuk, ma dinuk, man hadar rajul. They're not going to be smiling at any person. The description is given in the hadith. Very, very frightening of these angels. They are coming and they're going to ask you this question and you have to answer immediately. No time to go bring any kitab or phone any person or ask, what is the story? You have to answer spontaneously. And this answer can only be given when a person lived his life in obedience to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then automatically it will come out so easily. So this is the fitna of the qabr. Rasulullah sought protection from Allah. Save us from the fitna of the qabr. The azmaish, when these two angels, Munkar and Nakir, will question you. So this is the fitna, this is the test. And you pass this test, then you pass, inshallah. That's why Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu should cry by the qabr to such an extent that his whole beard, hatta tabullu lihyatuhu, his beard will become soaked with his tears. Somebody asked him, you're crying so much by the qabr? What about Jannat and Jahannam? You read that, you're not crying so much. He said, innahu awwalu manzilin min manazilil akhirah. This is the first station of the akhirah. Any person who is successful here, then the remaining stations will be easy for him. You fail here, there's no chance for you afterwards. And therefore, we hear the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ and we encourage that every night recite Suratul Mulk, because it will protect you from the fitna of the qabr, from the azab of the qabr. So fitna of the qabr, one is the questioning of Munkar Nakir, and also the other meaning of fitna is azab of the qabr, where serpents and snakes and pythons and Allah knows best what will be thrown into the qabr of the person, and he is punished, he is yelling and he is screaming. The animals and all can hear, but man and jinn cannot hear. If they had to hear, they'll fall unconscious. May Allah protect us from the fitna of the qabr. So we have discussed now fitna Munkar and Nakir, and various types of fitna. Mawlana Wasiullah Rahmatullah used to say that Shah Waliullah Rahmatullah, Shah Waliullah Rahmatullah has written a masterpiece, Hujjatullah Al-Baligha. In that he mentioned three forms of fitna that stand out. Fitna affecting man in his life, fitna affecting man in his family, and fitna affecting a man that will come like waves, one after the other that I mentioned in the beginning of this talk. Then he says, fitna affecting man in his life is the same as that referred to by the fitna in his heart, when his heart becomes corrupt. When your heart becomes corrupt. So it is apparent that when the heart becomes corrupt, all the limbs will become corrupt. And the famous hadith of Rasulullah we always discuss, Allah inna fil jasadi mudghatan idha saluhat saluhal jasadu kulluh wa idha fasadat fasadal jasadu kulluh ala wa hiya al qalb. And this hadith of Rasulullah is so important, which emphasizes the importance of making sure that this heart, this piece of flesh, this is pure, it is clean, it must not become decayed, it must not become off, it must not become bad, because if the heart becomes corrupt, the heart becomes bad, then the eyes will become bad, the mind will become bad, the hands will become bad, the feet will become bad, the private parts will become bad, every limb will become bad. And if the heart, the tazkiyah of the heart is made, the heart is pure, then inshallah all the other limbs become pure. And therefore he mentioned that this important thing with fitna in the man's life is when his heart has become corrupted. And as I mentioned, two things corrupt the man's heart. Fitna of shubuhat, doubts that come to his heart, that takes him away from haq to batil, and fitna of shahwat, his passions, his desires, his nafsi ammara, taking him towards haram all the time. And for both these things, the first ilaj of shubuhat, la yunjihi, nothing can give him salvation from the fitna of shubuhat, doubts, except ittiba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, following Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ahkam of sharia, not making chuchira. Chuchira means finding faults, this, that, why like this, when, why, who, then you're going to look for problems. So accept what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given to us. We have sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, tabi'in, there is khairul qurun. We are so many years away from khairul qurun. Hundreds of years, 1,400 plus years away from there. So imagine our condition. And we think at this, in this era, we have understanding, and we won't have the shubuha, and everybody else is misled. And all the millions of ulama and great scholars and muhaqqiqeen and mufassirin, muhaddithin, fuqaha, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, Imam Malik rahmatullahi, Imam Shafi rahmatullahi, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, all of them didn't know anything, they were wrong. We understand Quran, we understand hadith. You're only fooling yourself. So when the heart becomes corrupt because of this fitna of shubuhat or fitna of shahwat, where a person has his evil temptations that overwhelm his heart, It's for this, what is the... So that one, you follow sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We have yaqeen in the Qur'an and sunnah as it is brought to us. And for the fitna of shahwat, istighfar, tawbah, which is absolutely important. Tawbah, istighfar, and we try and make tazkiyah of ourselves. Of course, it's difficult to do it ourselves. If we go to ask an alim, a sheikh, I've got this problem, I'm jealous of my neighbor all the time. So what is the ilaj? Oh, I've got pride in me. What is the ilaj? Oh, I've got anger. I don't know how to overcome my anger. So until we don't solve this, the heart will become corrupted. And the heart becomes corrupted, and this is the fitna within the person. Then we, of course, we mentioned like jealousy and so many other spiritual maladies. Then the second fitna is when the fitna of the family of a person, this refers to corruption in the nizam of the home. So you start your home, your morning with the television, with the TV box, and with all filth and whole night, the person was watching haram things. So your whole morning, your subah is not done correctly, the whole day will go upside down. Then you are 110% inviting problems in your home. So the whole system of the home is corrupt. Hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ mentions that Iblis, Shaitan, has an arsh, has a throne over the sea. And he has many, many shayateen under him. Iblis is the main person. Main shaitan. He's got shayateen, small, small other shayateen under him. And each day he takes a report back. Bhai, tune kya kya? And whatever language is asked, he asks them in. So, the shaitan, Iblis, you know, I made him steal nothing. I made him speak lies, you did nothing. Carry on. Each one, nothing great you did. Tune kuch nahi kya. Until one person, one of the shaitan will come, I cause jagra between husband and wife. I cause them to split. Shaitan, that Iblis will say, ha, ha, shabash, you don't say mashallah. Is he shabash? Tune bahut acha kiya. You did very well. Shabash. Mubarak baat. You see? This is the fitna of a person in his family. So this is what shaitan will do. I went behind a certain person. I did not leave him, shaitan will say, until the cause separation between him and his wife. Iblis hears this. He says, very good. You have done well. Another condition that is a means of corrupting the system in the home, where all the home, people of the home, as I mentioned in the beginning, all of them are present, but, and physically they're present, but in terms of the hearts, they're separated. He's not talking to her. She's not talking to him. Husband and wife sitting. They are not talking to one another. The son is not talking to the father. The mother not talking to the daughter. This is azab. This is fitna. And of course, the cell phone is another big fitna. That everybody is there physically, but nobody is paying attention to the next person. Everybody is engrossed in their own thing. So this is Hazrat Mawlana Wasiullah Rahmatullah says that physically they are there, but their hearts are separated. There is mutual enmity in their hearts. This continues to such an extent, the father complains about the son. Son is complaining about the father. They are a problem between both, between mother and daughter. Brothers have differences with each other. In their own home. Brothers are not talking to one another. Hazrat Shirazi Rahmatullah explains the condition of the time and he says, evil character has corrupted every home to such an extent where two people cannot live in harmony. No brother can show mercy to his brother, no father can show compassion to his son, and the son cannot show respect to his father. But if there's a pious environment in the home, then even if a person becomes worried because of outside troubles, when he comes, who does he speak to? His wife, his children. Some problem at home, they will console him. They will comfort him. Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when Iqra was revealed, the first person he came to his wife, Khadija radiallahu anha. She consoled him, comforted him. Family members were around there. You understood? So the wife consoled him. When this can happen? With his muhabbat between husband and wife. So his problems at work, whatever it is, something worrying him, he can discuss with her. He can discuss with his children when we have a pious environment. There are so many other things we would like to discuss, but inshallah, I think this is sufficient for us today. Inshallah, Allah protect us from all types of fitan and fasad in our businesses also. So whenever we are lured by some shahwa, then turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your gaze should be, have taqwa in us. Toba, istighfar, taqwa, wara. Inshallah, when this happens, you'll be able to overcome it. Khuda na khasta, you fell in, toba, istighfar immediately, and move away from that type of environment. May Allah give me tawfiq and hidayah to understand. May Allah protect all of us from all types of fitna, zahir and batin, fitna of mahya, mamat, fitna of dunya, fitna of akhirat, fitna of qabr. May Allah give us such a life that is free from fitan. Because as we are moving closer and closer to Qiyamah, as I mentioned the hadith, one wave of fitna lashing out that makes the other fitna that came preceded it like nothing. Like absolutely nothing. And it will come consecutively, one after the other. Right till we get the fitna of Dajjal. Now that's a very, very serious one. Again, if you are a victim of shubuhat, you're not on haqs with steadfastness, then you won't be able to identify this is Dajjal. But the mu'min, you will see kafara written on the forehead of Dajjal. And Allah will protect you. And therefore again, Allah out of His kindness, through Rasulullah Park showed a simple remedy by Surah Kahf Paro on a Friday. Read Surah Kahf on a Friday. Allah will protect you from all fitnas during that week. To such an extent, if Dajjal has to appear in that week, you will be saved from his trials and tribulations. So like that, there are other words in Ahadith. Fitnatu Amya. Amya means blind. The person won't be able to see Haqq. He won't be able to see Haqq to be Haqq. Batil will be Haqq for him and Haqq will be Batil for him. And so common today. Where people find so many in their mind. Errors, what's happening? Where is, what type of Islam is this? This is back old day. You'll find false and false and false. In the meantime, what's happening? Qiyamah is coming closer, closer. Mawt is coming closer, closer. You haven't even moved from your spot. In fact, you have gone backwards. Don't become a means of others coming towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our job is, our task is, our responsibility is make dua to Allah ta'ala. Allah protect us from all types of fitna. And Rasul Mashur has a beautiful dua which I mentioned, I don't know how many hundred times. Allah give me tawfiq and all of us tawfiq. Always ask Allah for afiyat with the ayn. Afiyat means safety from all types of fitna. Protection from all types of fitna. The best dua mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah SAW, Rasul told Hazrat Abbas radiallahu anhu, his uncle, that he make dua for afiyat. After some days, another dua, he said afiyat. Afiyat manglo. Ask for afiyat. Safety and protection from all types of trials, tribulations and difficulties. So even if we are going to be tested, Allah will help us to pass the test. And if we made a mistake, Allah will give us tawfiq of tawbah, istighfar and making rujoo towards Him. May Allah give all of us tawfiq and hidayah to understand, to make amal. May Allah help us to cleanse and purify our hearts. So this heart becomes clean and pure and all our limbs become clean and pure. And so that we please Allah and Rasulullah Park sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين سبحانه وتعالى سبحانه وتعالى توبوا إليكم.